Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome from Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries with evangelists Aaron and Sheila Gervais. Thank you for joining us tonight. And we're going to be talking about some things that is very important about waiting on God. And so tonight we're going to have just a candid conversation on waiting on God and what it's all about. And so we're going to be looking at a passage that really brings out this waiting on God, starting it. It's kind of a discussion launcher. Psalm 13, verse 1. It says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Verse 2, I'm just going to read a few more verses. It says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." And so we look at this, and it's really difficulty for Christians to wait on God. Certain things that we're praying for, certain things we're waiting for. And you might be in a place where you have prayed about relationships, prayed for health, prayed for just things God to do in your life, job, what doesn't matter, finances. And it seems like it just goes on and on and on. And nothing seems to go by, and you don't see any answers. And one of the first things I'm going to go into is what waiting on God does to us. And there is a few things that it does to us, such as waiting on God. It challenges our faith in our waiting. It actually challenges our faith in that waiting time. And so we have to look at that passage about then why is it challenges us and what's it do as we wait. And so it challenges our faith, and we sometimes doubt that God is going to do something as we pray, and after we prayed for, you know, however long that might be. The second thing that it can happen as you're waiting on God is it could just get you downright aggravated, because you know you hear people talk about the answers of God, you see people talk about the answers of God, you actually have, you know, you get tired even looking at Facebook with people writing down, well, God answered this prayer, God answered that prayer, and just keep your faith in God. And, you know, some of you might have been waiting on God for 6 months. You might have been waiting for a year. Some of you might have been waiting on God for years. And you're just getting aggravated. And you actually might find yourself lashing out at people when they say, well, just keep having faith, have faith. And you're tired of that. It just seems like pat answers now. Another thing that happens is when you're waiting so long, as once again we just read that David did, it sometimes waiting just makes no sense. You know, we all know and we always ask ourselves, well, why isn't God doing this? There must be something wrong. There must be something wrong in my life. And we're going to be going from tonight the attitude that, you know, there's not some hidden sin, that there's not things you're disobeying God with. We're going to go on the premise that you have an active relationship with Jesus Christ. He's your Lord and Savior, because we know you need to be saved for God to answer the prayers of his children. So we're going to be going on those premises and going from there. So when you have all those things lined up and you still pray, you're still faithful, and it seems God is just not coming through for you, and you just shake your head and say, this makes no sense. You get to the point where you're always asking God why. It's hard when God doesn't even answer why. So not only do you not get to prayers that you're praying for, but you're also got to the point where you're asking God why, and you don't get an answer for that either. And a lot of times, I'm going to read that verse 1 again. He says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" And then the next is a question, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And he's very aggravated in that psalm, and we all can get there as well. And so the last thing it does, it actually challenges your motivation to even pray anymore. I've been there, and many of you have been there. You pray for something over and over and over and over and over and over, and you just don't seem to get any answers. And it leaves you with, well, let's just face it, not even wanting to ask again. And we ask again because we know we should, but we don't feel like we should ask again because we're just tired of asking. And we can get to the part where we just say, God, you know what I've asked for? You want it, you're going to give it to me. If not, I guess you just don't care. And we all get to that part. And that's where I said this discussion tonight's coming from. It's coming from that part of not knowing why God's not answering, and then having that faith in God while you're still waiting, and not get aggravated with Him. That's a very hard thing to do. And so, in that premise of not knowing what God's doing, it's hard. It's hard, and we always want to ask why. Why? And we constantly ask Him why. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to go to the next step. Is sometimes you don't even want to pray. Like, you don't even want to read the Bible. You don't want to look at Facebook. You're even get envious if you hear somebody else got their prayers answered. And it's a hard place to be in. So we're going to look at, that hard place to be in, and then what God's will for us, and maybe why He's having us wait, and what is He doing as we wait.
I think sometimes it not only affects your prayer life and the other categories and areas that you described, I think it also causes us to start wrestling with our own thoughts in it. I mean, not just the thoughts that we have towards why is God holding off? Why am I not hearing God? Why is He afar off? Why He seems quite aloof to me right now. I think we start questioning and wrestling with our own thoughts in the first place. Like, did I hear from God right on this? Is this really one of my promises? What? We start questioning ourselves too, and then we start letting those thoughts run through our head of the, it starts becoming quite negative, the negative self-talk. You start getting negative, well, pretty much just about your life, if we would be honest about it. I mean, it's like, well, why do I keep going? What's the purpose in keep going? Why do I keep trying? It looks like nothing's working anyway. And I think when it comes down to it, we have to remember that we are to get up every day when we're going through the wait and learn how to be still. I think we as Christians and as people in the world, we no longer know how to be still. And, being still is, letting go of the questions, letting go of the anxious thoughts, letting go of, well, God, you're not answering, so I'm going to answer it for myself and I'm going to do it like this. That's when troubles really come into our life, when we start answering our own prayers and start making decisions for ourselves, and that decision was not led by God, so we're going to be stepping out of His will, even though we think it looks good for us at this time, because we're tired of waiting on God. So I think we need to consider when we're wrestling with our own thoughts, even, and how to handle that. And I believe that comes in learning to be still, especially when you don't think you're hearing from God, to be still and let that confidence and trust that God's working something out. And we know that, but we have to be still in that. And I think that's important for myself to remind myself of. And I think someone out there needs to hear that. When you've been in this a long time, what I mean by a long time is you're waiting. It feels like you've been waiting forever. I'm not talking a 1 week, 2 week wait. I'm talking a 6 months, 1 year, 2 year, and longer wait. And you've been praying faithfully and steadfast over a prayer, and the answer is not coming. We need to remind ourselves to be still, because God's timing is perfect in all things, and we need to be still in that wait. And what that means is still get up every day and do what you know to do, and eventually God will bring the rest. What we know to do every day, right? As Christians, what do we know to do? We have daily responsibilities that we take care of. We know to tend to those things. We know to tend to ourselves. We know to tend to our soul and be still. And get up every day and do what you know to do, because God will bring the answer. He will bring, I mean, not always the answer the way you want it to be brought to you. And if you don't get the answer, there's also protection in that, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But I think we, as a Christian and as society, we need to learn to be still and not to wrestle with our thoughts regarding it all.
That's very good stuff. In fact, one of the things, and Ashiel, I think you would agree with me, that a lot of people do in that waiting time is you're going to have those moments of stretching. You're going to have those moments when you're questioning if God loves you. And you know, we're not to wrestle with those negative thoughts and at the same time realize that we're in good company. I mean, we just read right here that David, the one who, you know, God said was a friend of his, wrestled with the thoughts. He was running for his life from his enemies, and he just, how long, God? And he says, forever? You know, really? Have you totally forgot me? And so the biggest thing is not to self-condemn yourself. Don't think of the negative thoughts. Let God, you know, remove those thoughts from you as you're waiting. But don't condemn yourself. Don't say, well, I have those thoughts, therefore I must not be a good enough Christian. I'm going to give up on the whole thing. Because I tell you what, giving up on God, even as hard as it takes while you're waiting, you'll be taking up a life of despair. Because let me tell you, even if you're waiting, even in this process of not getting your answers, still your life with God and your relationship with Him is still far more important than any of the frustration in waiting for your prayers. It's that.
That's a part of learning to let go of wrestling with your thoughts. It's everything that you're saying. In Psalms 9 and 18, it says, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." So what your wait is temporary, you know, and what is time when it all comes down to it? You know, the wait is temporary. And I think sometimes when we're not getting that immediate answer from the Lord, or we don't feel like we've been helped out, or that answer to that prayer just hasn't come in any way, and we can't see a sign, not that we look for signs, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no whispering of the Spirit or the leading through the wisdom, you know, or maybe His grace isn't being communicated to us like we thought it would be, or the answer's not coming like we thought it would be. And so we're quick to conclude on things like that were forgotten, you know, and we start this conversation not only with ourselves but with God based on our own opinion, not based on the Word of God. So we'll become accusatory. We'll start questioning. We'll wonder where He's at this, sometimes in the most common things of life. And why is He not meeting what we perceive as our needs? Why is He not answering our prayer? You know? So I think, like you said, it's not condemning ourselves, but also when we're thinking, we have to remember to think not the way you would just think here on this earth. You have to remember the biblical principles and apply that to your thinking while you're waiting for your prayers to be answered. When it feels like God has literally turned His face from you, that He's removed His grace from you, which we know doesn't happen, but sometimes it feels like it. It feels like He's not shining His favor down on us, you know. We don't see the visible signs of love and that gracious presence. It's really a distressing feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's distressing. And so you have to remind yourself continuously what the Word says, and remind yourself again, and every time you start thinking the opposite, remind yourself again until you get it, until you believe it, until you apprehend it, until you trust it. You know, it's all wait for the Lord who's hiding His face from me, you know, but I'm still going to wait for the Lord. And while I'm waiting, I'm going to serve Him, and I'm going to be still in my spirit. When He hides His face, you know, He's not deserting us. He's not withholding from us. He's not separating Himself from us or His love. I think we have to remember sometimes that wait brings us strength, you know, and sometimes when that wait brings us protection, because God can see down the road. He sees the bigger picture of things that we can't see. You know, we want it now, we want it yesterday, and God's saying not yet. But in saying not yet, He's not saying no. He's just not saying not right now, not at this time. I have something for you, but not yet.
Right. Yeah, and that's good. I love the verse you pulled out that I think it was 9:18. And I love that part. It says, "The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." The expectation, they're praying, they're waiting on God, and that wait is not going to perish. It's not going to go forever. God is a God who's going to answer. But and Sheila really touched on a point, is we do have God's acknowledgement to be persistent and to wait for God's things. And, you know, and a lot of times we think, well, It's a test. It's a test. It's just, it's God's testing me to see if I'm faithful or not. There, God's testing, and we're going to look at a little bit that there is a part of testing, but we have to stop looking at it as it's not so much testing, but it's strengthening. Once again, I want to say that again. It's not so much testing you to see if you're obedient. It's strengthening you because he knows that you're going to hold on to him through this time of waiting. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, now think about that, when you're praying and praying, like she mentioned, 6 months, a year, year and a half, 2 years, maybe longer, that is a trying of your faith. It's a trying of your faith in God's promises, not in God. We know God is God. We know he's good, and we're not going to give up on him. But it's a trying of your faith, of the promises. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, which means you won't lack anything that God has for you. That you understand that, and I guess imagine it like this. We all have heard this analogy that God has his hands over us, and everything that comes against us has to pass through his hands first. Now, let me say this. If that's true, which James says that is true, that everything he has to pass through his permission, that means he knows you are strong enough in him to wait. Now, let that sink in for a moment. He knows you are strong enough in him to wait. Because if you weren't strong enough, he would know he would have to answer your prayers in 2 months, in 3 months. And some people out there might say, well, let me be weaker so I get my prayers answered. But that's not the point. See, God's work always working on a character. And sometimes in that wait, it's the strongest character building. Look at, once again, David. And you can look at all the patriarchs. Look at the New Testament saints. They had to wait sometimes over and over and over. And in those moments, God's not so much testing, although he does do that sometimes, but he's strengthening. He's saying he sees you worthy to wait on him. Now, that's hard. Especially when you're wanting those answers to prayers, and you know, sometimes when we pray to God for things, and I'm being very sensitive, because guess what? There's things that Sheila and I are waiting on that we have been praying through and waiting on. So the first person that we're discussing here is for ourselves, because we're in the same boat as a lot of people when we're waiting on things. But you know, the biggest thing is you have to understand is God's at work. God's doing something, and when you're waiting, it's hard to hear that, because you need the prayers answers, you want the prayers answers, you're standing on his word, you don't know why he's taken so long to answer, and we may not know the side of heaven. That's a hard fact. It might not be till you're standing before God that you're like, oh, I understand. And God, you know, he wants us to be very persistent. But once again, as Sheila and I was talking about earlier, sometimes our relationship with God can become selfish-driven. Now, I'm not saying that things you're asking for are wrong, but if this relationship with God you have is built on whether or not you get your prayers answered, that relationship's not very strong. And guess what? That's a relationship that has to be strengthened. So if the waiting brings strength, the way James says, trying of your faith brings strength, if you're about to give up on God unless he answers your prayers, he might have you wait longer to strengthen you more. And that's a hard fact to come by. And some of you might go, oh no, no way.
I think it's important to remember why you have a relationship with God in the first place. It's not so you get answered prayers. Mm. I mean, that's kind of the benefit, kind of like a perk, kind of a blessing, you know, from having a relationship with God. But why do you have a relationship with God in the first place? I mean, that kind of goes along with what you were saying. I mean, if God never answered a prayer, if we never received the answers we're praying for, or if the promises never made it to us, never came to fruition, would you still serve him? I mean, would you still love him? Or is your love and your service to him contingent upon his answers to your prayers? So I think that's a checkpoint that only every individual, myself, you, and anyone else listening can do between them and God, is why are you in a relationship with God in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And so is it because you have prayers that you want answered, so you go, you know, you establish this relationship with God so you get something? You can have something? You can have favor? You can have blessings? Or are you in a relationship with God and you love him because he first loved you? Why are you in a relationship with God? You know? And I think it's something else we need to look at when we're waiting on these prayers that we've been praying. When the prayer is answered, what will you do with that answer to glorify God? Isn't that why we're praying and seeking and things for him, so we can better the kingdom, work within the kingdom? I mean, how many souls will come to know his saving grace through your answered prayer? How will the kingdom of God grow? I know this sounds kind of harsh, but I think we have to look at the reality of this. Why are we praying for what we're praying for? What is our intent as Christians? Why are we in this? Why are we in this relationship with God? What are we doing? I know that sounds kind of harsh. I'm kind of taking on a different stance with that, but it's rising up inside me as I'm listening to you, Aaron, and I'm thinking, we need to know why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Why are we in this relationship with God? I mean, it all comes down to what we really focus on and what we really need in this life. And if you have salvation, you already have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you already have everything that you need, and now we've already been given all the blessings in salvation. So if you're basing your relationship on God to the answers to your prayers, I think we need to rethink our relationship and why we're praying.
Right.
So I just had to throw that in there because I was a little Sheila feeling.
Well, it's
I have those every now and then.
Well, that's very true, though, because that is really why are we saved? And she made a very good point. Is we are saved, of course, because, you know, of Jesus, of his love for us, that he, you know, he came to earth, revealed himself, lived sinless, was crucified, died, buried, resurrected. Why? To offer salvation. And that is the most important thing. And why does he still leave us here on earth? Really to love, serve him, and then tell and lead other people to him. That's really it. And so all of our answer prayers, and don't get us wrong, we're not saying to give up on prayers in God. In fact, we're going to look at a moment that God says, don't give up on prayers. Keep having faith in him and his promises, but don't base your relationship with Christ on your answer prayer. Because let me tell you, the person who says, I have to see God do something else for me to continue to believe in him, that's the person who may not get an answer prayer anymore. Because when the Pharisees said, we want to see another sign, Jesus, that you are who you are. Prove it again. They've already seen so many miracles, hundreds of miracles. But prove it again. Show us again. And sometimes if we say to God, God, I'm not going to believe in you or follow you anymore unless you answer another one. You're really doing the same thing that the Pharisees are saying. Show us again. Now, really all God has to do is show you the cross. That's it. In fact, when the Pharisees said that, he says this. He said, you are adulterers and adulteresses who always seek for another sign. And the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of the prophet Jonah. When he was in the belly of the fish 3 days, then he came out, and I will be in the heart of the earth 3 days, and then I will, you know, he's talking about his resurrection. That's the only proof we need to continue to believe in God. So we're not saying not praying, we're just saying do not base your relationship with God on your answer prayers, because it's all about what he's done for you already.
If we base, I'm actually asking this question because I have this question arise inside me, and I think I know the answer. But based on the scriptures that you just gave, Aaron, if we're praying to God for an answered prayer, and that's going to be contingent upon our continued relationship with God, isn't he showing us grace by not answering that prayer so we don't make the answered prayer our God?
Ooh, yeah, I have to totally agree with that.
That totally just rose up inside me. So that's an act of grace.
Yeah.
He loves us enough not to answer those prayers when they're based like that. He loves us that much, and
wow,
he gives us grace so we don't make that answered prayer our God.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, because What could happen is our requests, our selfish motives sometimes can become our own idol, that we're basing serving God on that answer prayer. And yeah, that definitely, and him not answering it, could be definitely the act of grace, because he's showing us we need to love him just because he is God, not for any other reason. And so we want to, stress, God still wants us to pray. He still wants us to hear our heart's desires. But don't base your relationship on answer prayers with God, which means for that person who's waited 2, 3, 4, or 5 years or longer, yeah, keep praying. But whether, and Sheila and I have actually asked this question, even about some of the things that we are waiting on God for. If he never answered those prayers, and he just didn't. That doesn't mean we're asking amiss. It doesn't mean we're asking out of his will. We check the Word of God all the time. What we're praying for is in his will, is according to scriptures, everything. But if he just doesn't do it, will we still worship, love him, and serve him? And the answer, if he is your God, has to be yes. Has to be yes. In fact, it reminds me of another passage. You have all heard of the persistent widow. And it's found in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read that. And there is something very striking about the last verse. And a lot of people finish it at verse 7. They really need to go on to verse 8. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end. The man ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them." He says he will come through. Be persistent. Keep praying. Keep praying and believe in his promises. But in verse 8 is a stark, really going what we're just saying about this. Is our faith in God dependent on what he does? Our faith in God is dependent on who he is. He says this, Jesus, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Is your faith built on who he is or in just your prayers? And if you don't get your prayers answered, will you continue to have faith in God? And that's what that's saying. Some people are they give up on their being persistent, and in giving up on that, they give up on God. So if he didn't answer your prayers, even though you're being so persistent and keep asking, and if it takes a while, will he find your faith intact? Will he find it, even though you're being persistent? It's not, the answer hasn't came yet. But he wants us to continue to be that persistent in that. And so the biggest thing is you can keep trusting God. And let me add this, because it's very important. We can keep trusting God, not based on whether he answered our prayers or not. We can keep trusting in God because he is God. And going back to Psalm 13, let me give you an example about keep trusting in God when he hasn't even answered your prayers. And you don't know if he will. In Psalm 13, remember, David was just really complaining. God, where are you at? Are you going to keep hidden from me forever? How long? And then it goes down to verse 5. Now remember, his prayer has not been answered yet. He is complaining. God, will you forget me? Have you forgot me? He's complaining like we all do. But watch what happens in verse 5 and verse 6. It's an example for us. Remember, the prayer has not been answered. But he said, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy... Whoa. It doesn't say answer prayers. My heart will rejoice in thy salvation. Did you catch that? I just got goosebumps. They rejoice in your salvation. He says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He's not even praising God that he's going to answer this prayer. He's not praising God because the prayer has been answered. He's praising God just for his salvation, and because of that salvation, he has dealt bountifully with David. Even in waiting, God is showing us this really could be the key to our answer prayers, but it doesn't matter if he answers. It's the key to our relationship with God while we wait and while we don't wait. The whole important thing is we rejoice in his salvation. And that is awesome.
I think we need to remember the rejoice part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because discouragement and dismay, those types of things set in pretty easy for us when we're praying, which, by the way, we should always do. I'm one of those idiots that be walking down the school hall with my lips moving, and if you've seen on the school cameras, I look like an idiot talking to myself. That's Sheila praying. I mean, prayer is continual. Pray continually. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man was it availeth much, right? So be anxious for nothing. Petition the Lord. No, nothing about what we're saying is to stop praying. Pray all the time. That is your conversation with God. But I think what we need to understand is our relationship with God is not based on that prayer or that answered prayer. And the scripture that Aaron just read has said, rejoice. Okay? I think we need to understand what we're really to be rejoicing over. When we get an answered prayer, don't we get elated? And we get like this sense of yes, God, right? But where's our yes from God really coming from? Where's our rejoice really coming from that we should always remind ourselves of and that we always have? That is salvation. And when I think this is going to sound strong, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's rising up inside of me to share. When we fail to rejoice for our salvation that we already have, because within that we have all need met, then I think we start slipping on the hope. And when we start slipping on the hope, what happens? We have no hope, right? Mm-hmm. And when we lose hope, then we come to all these emotional and spiritual downfalls, right? Depression, discouragement, anxiety, fear, all those types of things start coming into us because we've forgotten what to truly rejoice over in this life. And because we're no longer rejoicing, we're losing our hope. And I think we need to, and when we lose our hope, we're going to start losing our trust, too. There's so many things that kind of spiral out of the spiritual control here. Because you got to get back into thought of the concepts of spiritual and keep it back in there, submitting ourselves to God and understanding that's where the control is coming from in our lives, is what we're submitting ourselves to.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally would prefer to submit myself to the rejoicing over my salvation than what I perceive as a failure in prayer. Or an unanswered prayer.
Ooh, that's really, really, really good. And I hope you caught what God was just giving to Sheila, is we rejoice in our salvation, not in the prayer, whether it's answered or not. And that is the most important thing, is rejoicing in knowing God. You know, we've all heard it said. Now think about what most of us pray for. They are temporary things. It's most of it are temporary. And you've heard us say this before, but I'll say it again. In 100 years from now, what will that matter? What will all those prayers matter? Let me ask you, what would it matter if he answered them? What will it matter if he doesn't answer them 100 years from now? In 100 years from now, it really won't matter if he answered them or didn't answer them. Well, the only prayer that would matter is salvation for a loved one and family and friends. But that's it. The only thing that will matter is standing before Jesus Christ with all of his glory, worshiping him. That's how he wants us to look at it now. Not just then, but that's how he wants us to look at it now. We rejoice in knowing him. You know, and one of the things that God does in our waiting time, and I think what we're talking about is exactly, he's strengthening us in our relationship with him. Whether or not our relationship is strong or not, we might think we are the top of the top and we are doing great. But God wants to show us that there is more. There's more in him. Once again, that waiting is not some necessarily testing, but that waiting is strengthening. In fact, a very popular verse, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, you see, once again, it doesn't say those who get their prayers answered when they pray it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Before the prayers are answered, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Before the prayers are answered, they shall run and not be weary. Before the prayers are answered, they shall walk and not faint. Do you see that? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It is grace for God to let us wait. It is His love to let us wait. And we don't see that because we see it from the temporary. And our prayers that we start seeing it from the relationship in God, from the eternal. Like I said, we might not know why specifically, what is He doing, but one of the things the Bible is clear about is He's strengthening us. He's showing us what we can do and who we are in Him. And it's a very awesome place to be, really.
I mean, it's hard to look at it like that. It's hard to look at, this is an awesome place to keep waiting, you know, and it looks like nothing's going on in life and nothing's changing and it's all the same old, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's really a very hard place to be. And that's when we as Christians, that's when we draw nigh to the Lord and we get closer to Him. We keep praying. We don't give up on praying and talking to Him. That's our conversation. That's part of our lifeline with Him. Mm-hmm. And we rejoice over our salvation. And we have to know that even though it doesn't feel like He's near, He's in the midst. He's in the midst. And I'm going to say that one more time because it's very strong. Someone out there needs to hear that He is in the midst. And I have a picture right now in my mind of a fiery furnace. And I'll remind you of one of those good old Bible stories that we hear a lot. Who was it? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? In the fiery furnace they went, right? Does anybody remember how that story turns out?
Mm-hmm.
When they came back, by golly, it looked like there was a fourth person in there. There was a man, and it was a son of God. He was in the midst with them in the fiery furnace. You see, they were never left. Do you think when they're being thrown into that fiery furnace, that trial, they were thinking, oh, my God. You know, were they saying, like David said in Psalm 71:12, do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly. God, help. I mean, seriously, help. You know, they went in, being the men that they were, the men of God that they were, not denying who their God and who they were. He was in their midst. Do you think He was talking to them while they were in there? We don't know because the Bible didn't say, right? But He never left them, and they were delivered from that situation. There wasn't anything burnt on them, right? Not the clothes, not a smell, not a stench of the fire. He was with them. So I want to say out there to someone, and maybe I'm saying this to myself and Aaron too, that He's in the midst, that He's never left, that He's still walking around with us, and really nothing is harming us in this life. We have Him. We have our salvation. And I hope that revives someone's spirit this evening to know that He is in the midst. So He may be silent. He may feel like He's far off. You may be saying that prayer, asking God questions, and you're hearing nothing in return, not even a whisper. But He is in the midst. He does not leave His kiddos. He doesn't leave His kids. He's always working on our behalf. He's always there. This is when we need to learn to wait, to be still, and trust Him. And maybe we're just working on trust issues. Don't we all have them? Right? Mm-hmm. So work on the trust issue. He is in the midst. And I hope that whoever that was for, and if it was just for me and Aaron, I receive it. You know, He's in the midst. He's not ignoring you. He's not overlooking you. He's there. He's right there with you wherever you go. Where can you go to hide from His Spirit? That's in the Bible, too. No matter where you go, He's with you. He has not left you. He is right there, even mm-hmm. though He's silent. Even though He's silent. You have His word to read, to hear His voice. You have the Bible. If you want a word from God, read the Bible.
Amen.
And apply it to your life. Here's something for someone else. Stop waiting for some audible voice or a bush to burn or a donkey to talk to you. Read the Word of God. Find out what that Word of God says. Pray the Word of God, because that's what does not return void. It accomplishes what it set forth to do. There you go. There's another little Sheila too that came rolling out of me, but that is truth. That is truth. Some of us are waiting around for some big sign so we can follow the sign, like the neon sign flashing saying, go this way. Why don't you just read the Word, apply it to your life, and pray the Word when you're praying?
Right. That's good. In fact, you know, that passage, wait upon the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. It doesn't mean that we're not to do nothing, just sit around and just do nothing. In fact, if you go to a restaurant and somebody comes and takes your order and serves you, what do you call them? A waiter or a waitress? Why? Because they're waiting. Yeah, and they're waiting on you. And if you think about that, so whatever you can do for the Lord as you're waiting, definitely do. And you know, I want to just close off with that verse once again in Psalm 13 and then Ephesians, because there's a verse there I wanted to pull out. But once again, David says, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever. But then he goes down, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Now I want to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, because this came to Sheila and I just earlier today. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you realize what that really means? And I'm talking about further than temporary prayer requests we have. Every spiritual prayer that you could pray has already been answered. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's already answered every spiritual need that you need, that you have. He's already answered that prayer. But what Sheila was saying is so important. So dig into the Word. Be praying. Have that relationship with God. Find out what the Word says. Use it. Be faithful in waiting to God and doing things until He reveals so much other things to you. And that's very important to have. You have any closing thought there? Okay. And it is so important that we realize, once again, waiting sometimes stinks. We understand that. But what we got to do is change our mindset to realize it's not about the answer prayers that our relationships build on. It's not about the unanswered prayers our relationships is faltering on. Just like David, we not need to say, but we trust in you. We rejoice in your salvation. When that salvation comes, that's the most important thing in a person's life. And then the rest of it, just keep trusting. Because when God knows he has you, he strengthens you when you're waiting. And so it's his timing when he wants to answer the prayers. And then when they are answered, we praise him not for the answered prayers. Listen to this. We praise him because he's always been our God that is following us, that's being with us, that's just blessing us. But we serve him because he is God. So we definitely appreciate you listening tonight. Our prayer is that you would take this message and let it change you when you're waiting, strengthen you as you wait, and realize the most important thing. So guess what? In this waiting time, you can put a smile on your face and say that you've been trusting in Christ, that he is with you, you're with him. And so our prayer is that you will continue to let the Word just strengthen you. And once again, share these messages. Link this Blog Talk Radio, Abiding Love Worship Center. Put it on your Facebook. Text it to somebody, especially this message tonight. I guarantee every single person out there knows at least 10 people that this message would be good for, that they need to hear it because they've heard them just having a hard time waiting on the Lord. And so we want you to visit our Facebook, Abiding Love Worship Center, our website, abidingloveworshipcenter.com. And just remember, when you're living in Christ, you're living in abiding love. And our prayer is that you go and just live the life be the Christian you know, the child of God you've called to be. Thank you once again for listening in tonight, and God bless.